And that was Let Us Ever Walk with Jesus, which is the hymn we are going to be taking a look at on this Rumination Tuesday, June the 27th, in the year of our Lord 2017. I'm Pastor Tom Baker, and with me is my good friend, Reverend Mark Smith. Hi, Mark.
Hey, Tom. How you doing?
I'm doing really good. Yourself?
I'm doing just fine.
Lousy weather.
Oh, are you kidding? It's picture perfect. Beautiful out there.
Well, that's why it's lousy, because you want to be outside and we can't.
Well.
We're stuck inside a studio.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, I guess not. Okay. So, another Martin Luther hymn?
Nope, not today.
Not today.
No, this is Sigmund von Berken.
Yeah, Sigismund von Berken.
Yes.
Died in 1681. I'm surprised that we don't have the translator.
Oh, you mean Catherine Wentworth?
Any translator.
Oh, no translator? There's no translator here?
No.
None at all.
Not the hymnal we're looking at. I can't believe he... Sigismund von Berken doesn't sound very English to me.
Oh, they must have lost the name of the translator.
This is a
Or somebody was lazy putting that in.
This is a great hymn.
It is.
Because it shows how you get saved. You simply follow Jesus' example.
Yeah, perfectly. Perfectly, yes.
Yeah, pure. Yeah, you do
you're
that.
Being facetious, Tom. You better explain to people. There's no way.
What?
There's no way you can follow Jesus perfectly.
Well, why are we singing it then?
Well, it's...
Maybe you better read the first stanza.
Okay. All right. Let us ever walk with Jesus, follow his example pure. Through a world that would deceive us and to sin our spirits lure. Onward in his footsteps treading, pilgrims here, our home above, full of faith and hope and love, let us do the Father's bidding. Faithful Lord, with me abide. I shall follow where you guide.
That sure sounds kind of a way to get to heaven.
Jesus is already ascended for us. I mean, he's won the way to heaven, and he's there. In him, we're there right now. Isn't that right?
Everybody?
No. All who believe in him.
Yeah, this is theology is the art of making distinctions. And this, I'm doing the Heidelberg Disputation on Thursday nights at Trinity Lutheran Orchard Farm. And one of the points I'm making that Luther makes again and again is he keeps saying, this is not about sanctification, it's about
justification.
Yes. But what's at the top of this hymn?
Sanctification. You mean the
yeah,
subscript.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sanctification. Explain the difference.
Justification is the fact that Christ has already atoned for all of our sins, and he has declared us righteous. We are righteous, and heaven is ours by virtue of what he has done on the cross for all of us.
Yeah, I would add, though, justification occurs when through faith you
right.
receive that.
Absolutely, you're right.
Okay, what's sanctification then?
Sanctification is now that we have been atoned.
Yes.
And we want to live in him.
Yes. How do we know this verse is talking about believers and not unbelievers?
Let's see here.
There's a good section near the end.
Okay, living there.
Well, not that far.
Okay, that far. What are you talking about? What verse?
Full. Verse 1.
Just go ahead and read it, Tom.
Full of faith.
And hope and love.
Now, who can that be? Refer to but Christians.
But believers, right.
Yes.
That's right.
So it is impossible to follow the example of Jesus to be saved. But it's not impossible to follow the example of Jesus to respond to him in love for what he's done for us. And a lot of people get sanctification and justification mixed up. It's a law gospel problem.
Oh, yes.
They think that sanctification is really about how we are saved, you know, by obeying the law of God, etc. Mm-hmm. In fact, is that not true about every other religion in the world?
Yeah, that's right. Every other religion in the world teaches that you must do this, you must do that.
Yes.
You must make pilgrimage, you must somehow appease your God.
Yeah, I think it's Wes Reimnitz that likes to say that all other religions are do religions. Christianity is a...
It's done.
Done, yes. Very good. I'm glad you listened to us on Thursdays.
No, that's my own.
Oh, you don't
listen to us? I came up with
that
myself.
Oh, you did. Good. Okay. Yeah, do and done. And... I'll be running, we started two more adult instruction classes in the last 2 weeks. The one begins this Thursday night. It is just really difficult to get 15 people together at the same time.
Oh, you aren't kidding.
Are you finding that also true?
Hard to even get the youngsters at the I've said before, I have to have at least two confirmation classes going.
Really?
To give people an option. They can't make one night, so they make the other.
Have you ever considered doing your confirmation Sunday morning? During the Bible class?
No, I've never. No way. No, yeah. Adult Bible class, that trumps it. No.
Yeah, yeah. Some pastors do that. They have someone else do the Bible class, and they do the confirmation. In fact, I know one pastor who also does the adult confirmation Sunday. The good idea about that, it does get in the church, too.
Right.
But, yeah. So it's kind of...
It's more and more a challenge. There's more and more diversions and conflicts in people's lives. And it's
How many sports now take place Sunday morning?
Oh, a lot of them. Sure.
Boy.
And some sports, of course, go year-round.
Remember the day long ago when they wouldn't have any sports Wednesday night because of Advent and Lent services?
Right.
That's kind of gone out the window.
You aren't kidding.
Boy, we should go to the Supreme Court and see if they'll have a ruling. Well, that was a tremendous ruling.
Wasn't
yesterday.
That something?
Are you talking about the Lutheran
Trinity
Church?
Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri? Yes.
Yeah.
Well, all about a playground, right?
All they wanted was to get some items from the government that they were giving out to other nonprofits, but because Trinity was religious, they said no.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. In fact, what's that thing everybody goes on the computer? Not Facebook, the other one. Twitter.
Twitter.
They just took off advertisements.
For pro-life organizations.
Yes.
Can you believe that?
Oh, yes, I can, because...
Despicable.
Yeah, they don't care if babies are murdered. Yeah. I mean, they are so far gone. And they even talk about that anybody can have their point of view and this kind of thing, but no, not people who are protecting babies in the
womb.
Right,
right.
No, that's hate speech.
Sure.
Well, you heard what happened at the gay pride thing in New York.
Yes, I heard about that. Somebody put Blue Lives Matter on a float, and because, you know, you're not supposed to get political at all, they lost, like, two awards that they would have otherwise gotten.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Just because they had Blue Lives Matter put on their float.
Well, I'm talking about the lady who's in charge of the UN now for the United States.
Governor of South Carolina.
Yeah, she was eating with her son at a restaurant.
No, I didn't hear about this.
And the gay pride people saw her and started yelling at her son.
Oh, boy.
Swearing, all this kind of stuff. I don't understand how people don't realize how homosexuality is an abomination when that's the kind of behavior you see from them on a regular basis. But... They're not walking with Jesus, for sure.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Because it is very clear. Somebody said, well, Jesus never spoke out against homosexuality. And my answer to that was, haven't you read the book of Leviticus?
Yeah.
Who do you think the author
was?
Well,
also the book of Genesis.
Well,
where the...
all over the Old Testament, but also in Romans 1.
Romans, sure.
Boy. But... You know, I was going over with the elders. We met with them last night. And one of the things I'm really thinking of doing this year with the youth confirmands, because they've been really well trained in the small catechism under Pastor Gaunt, who's now left. But they're not that acquainted with the large catechism.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm thinking of going through that.
Excellent.
In fact, I've got a software to make games out of it.
Oh, wow.
You know, where you can do crossword puzzles and stuff. So I'm kind of looking forward to that, because the large catechism is not only in the Book of Concord, but you can buy it separately from Concordia Publishing House.
That's right. There's a very good book out now that I can't give you the... Let's see.
Luther's Large Catechism?
No.
That's what we're talking about.
No, that's what I mean. But I can't give you the name of the editor.
McCain? You don't think it was McCain?
Could be.
Yeah. Yeah, he does a lot of good editing. But be that as it may... I was reading that and telling the elders they ought to be reading the Book of Concord every day, some part of it. And the Large Catechism is really a good portion to be reading.
And we had a circle of members in our congregation and some visitors that read through the whole Book of Concord twice. They were doing that on a regular basis.
You mean?
Yes.
In the meeting that they had?
Yes, on a regular weekly basis.
Wow.
And then, after they finished that, they read Luther's Bondage of the Will.
Oh.
How about that?
You have to have a teacher to read that. Because when I did it, I had Dr. Klein.
H. Richard?
Yes, I did.
Yes.
Because you don't understand that because of the scholastic language. And if you're not familiar with that, you're just going to miss it. But that is, Luther considered that, outside of the catechism, to be his best work.
Yes.
Bondage of the Will against Erasmus, the Roman Catholic who believed that you can be saved by walking with Jesus.
Which brings us back to our hymn for the day.
Which leads me to the second stanza. Let us suffer here with Jesus and with patience bear our cross. Joy will follow all our sadness. Where he is, there is no loss. Though today we sow no laughter, we shall reap celestial joy. All discomforts that annoy shall give way to mirth hereafter. Jesus, here I share your woe. Help me there your joy to know. The only problem I have with this hymn at this point is that it sounds like that... our joy and our laughter will come only after we die and go to heaven. I think it can come here on earth also.
Yes.
Remember, it says, we shall reap celestial joy. And that everything will give way to mirth hereafter. I had a member of my congregation. In fact, she worked here as a secretary of synod. And... who is that guy in Little Abner where there's a cloud over his head?
In Little Abner?
Yeah,
the cartoon?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Remember?
I haven't seen one of those comic strips for a long
time. Oh, yeah, I used to like those.
He had a cloud over his head.
Because everything would go wrong in his life.
Huh.
You know? Yeah. And she had things go really wrong in her life on Monday. And then on Tuesday, she had wonderful things happen to her.
No kidding.
Yeah, it was just really interesting. I finally started... talking to her about that. I said, well, just wait till tomorrow. You're going to have a good day because you always do. And by and large, she did. It was just things that got in the way, and we didn't realize.
Was she kind of a glass half empty type person? I mean.
Well, it was items that she couldn't handle by herself.
Uh-huh.
And what we had to do was look where God had set up the ducks to help her through it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, things like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you know, it's so important that you always count your blessings.
Yes, yes. And so I just read a really interesting article. In fact, it was out of, do you get the Health magazine from Synod?
I'm sure I do.
Yeah. They talked about a study of, I think it was 56,000 women who attend church weekly. And they had a 20% chance of living longer than normal, even if they smoke, drank, and never exercised.
Oh, wow.
And wow. I've been saying that for years, because what really puts people in sickness, depression. Anxiety, etc.
Right.
And see, that's why the church service is one that you want to comfort people.
Absolutely.
If they can walk out with a different attitude.
That's right.
Then they're not going to be as
because
sick.
The Lord knows we get plenty of doom and gloom outside of the church, you know, in our workaday world. People come to church to
What's the worst occasion where people have gloom?
Well, of course, loss of a loved one.
That's right. And so what's a funeral for?
For comfort.
Exactly. Well said. That's very good, Mark. That's really what's happening. I'm going to be doing a paper. It's not tomorrow. On Insight Wednesday tomorrow, I have a member of one of my confirmation classes that wrote me a page of questions that are really good.
No kidding.
And, a lot of times they'll ask in the class, well, we're going to go with that, tomorrow. But one of the things I'm also working on as I listen to sermons is a lot of sermons have an analysis of law and gospel, but they don't preach law and gospel.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean by
that?
Yes,
I do.
Yes.
They don't apply it to our day-to-day life.
Exactly. Like, there's a Roman Catholic station right near Trinity Orchard Farm, and on Sunday mornings I always turn it on as I'm coming in because it always gives me some good stuff.
It gives you good ideas.
Yeah, and a couple of times they were really good. But this one here, the priest was saying in his sermon, I've taught you a lot about filial and servile love. Filial love, that's love of a son.
Right.
And servile love. He says, when you love out of servile love, you're doing it because you're afraid of the punishment. When you do it out of filial love, he says,
it's genuine.
Because you love.
Right.
And so you know what his next words were?
What?
Therefore, when you do a good work, do it out of filial love rather than servile.
Uh-huh. Well, he's telling us what you must do.
That's law.
Yeah.
Nobody can do it.
Right.
Not once did he give the motivation
to
do it. The sermon shouldn't have been talking about these theological distinctions, but by preaching Christ and him crucified, the people voluntarily and just automatically will do things out of filial love. And I've been hearing that again and again, even among some Lutherans who think that they're doing law and gospel, but they're explaining law and gospel, and they're analyzing law and gospel. And I can give you example after example. That isn't preaching law and gospel. Pastor Gaunt was back last Sunday, so we had a big attendance.
I'll bet, yes.
Yeah, I announced it as, if you want to hear a good sermon, I've been there a year now. Now you can hear a good sermon. But boy, he did a good long gospel sermon. He started off by talking about him being afraid to come back to preach because he wasn't sure, he'd say it right, or he wasn't sure they would still like him and all this kind of stuff. And he used that to show that fear is the beginning of wisdom.
Uh-huh. Fear of the Lord is beginning of wisdom.
Exactly. Yeah. And then he applied it to the people in the pew. You know, how wisdom really comes about. And really, that's true. People come to church with all kinds of weights on their mind.
Yes.
Then they hear the sermon, and they hear the wisdom, and they're relieved.
Uh-huh.
And that's why, even in this study, women who are attending weekly worship are better off because they're comforted, in contrast to those, the average stay now is about once every 6 weeks you go to church.
Boy.
It's really sad. Stanza 3.
Let us gladly die with Jesus, since by death he conquered death. He will free us from destruction, give to us immortal breath. Let us mortify all passion that would lead us into sin, and the grave that shuts us in shall but prove the gate to heaven. Jesus, here with you I die, there to live with you on high. I've always loved that third verse, that last line. And the grave that shuts yes. us in shall but prove the gate to heaven.
That's good.
I love that line.
Yeah. And that's the comfort you want to give as you lower the body into the ground, that body will soon rejoin with the spirit
yeah.
on the day of judgment. And it's the gate to heaven. I always talked about that kind of thing.
And that person is with Jesus right now.
Yes,
their soul is with Jesus right now. And someday the body too, which is precious to him, as a temple of the Holy Spirit, will be raised.
Exactly. I had a member, when he died in his will, he asked for not a double coffin, regular coffin. What's the thing you put the coffin
vault.
In? Double vault.
A double vault. Why do you want a double vault?
He didn't want his body to...
Oh, to... I see.
Yeah, decay.
Uh-huh.
But... And he was a strong believer. You know, it was uh-huh. just kind of interesting.
Yeah, people...
Whereas last funeral I had, the person wanted to be cremated.
Right.
See, what a difference there.
And some people want to be put in an above-ground mausoleum as opposed to in the ground. Some people just, you know, the idea of being in the ground just
really?
They're uncomfortable with that.
The first funeral I ever did at St. James, he was buried in the mausoleum there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, it's the same place that we have Philip buried. But that mausoleum was starting to fall apart, so it was sold, and they're really fixing up the place now. So, stanza 4, why don't you go ahead with that one?
Let us also live with Jesus. He has risen from the dead, that to life we may awaken. Jesus, you are now our head. We are your own living members. Where you live, there we shall be, in your presence constantly. Living there with you forever, Jesus, let me faithful be, life eternal grant to me.
You know, I know they got sanctification on the top of that, and that's really good, so people don't think it's justification. You know, it's not. But it also could be Jerusalem the golden,
yes.
the heavenly home.
Yes.
I mean, every verse is talking about where we're going.
Right.
Type of thing. And that can be very helpful. We here in the United States really don't have the kind of persecution that many Christians are having in other parts of the world where they're being put to death. In fact, I just got an email about, it's a new missionary here in the United States by the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. And they were talking about his life, that he saw his parents, the enemy had gathered them in the square and not only beat them but killed them.
Oof.
And yet he's becoming a pastor in the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.
Wow.
And so isn't that, when he saw his father die, it gave him motivation to become a pastor. Mm-hmm. Whereas other people see that happen, like many Jews during the Holocaust, and it motivates them not to believe that God exists.
Yeah, that's sad.
That really is. But that's because they don't have the Holy Spirit. And without the Holy Spirit, the world will never make sense. The only way the world makes sense is you better be at church. That Hebrews passage, not forsaking the assembling
of the assembling of together as the custom of some is.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, they struggled with people skipping church even in those early days, didn't they?
Yes. And I see a bigger movement of young people about 2, 3, 4 years after confirmation stop coming.
Uh-huh.
So we're going to be doing something at Trinity, we hope. Start getting them together, meeting them, and because you've got to have that. What are you preaching on Sunday?
It's kind of related somewhat. It's near 4th of July.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
Yeah. The Christian serves his nation.
And what are the times of your services?
Saturday at 5 p.m. and Sunday at 9 a.m.
Okay.
At Prince of Peace Lutheran Church.
And a Bible study going on during
that? Yeah, we're studying Isaiah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's boy, in depth.
That's a lot of Trinity in Isaiah.
Yes.
A lot of people don't realize that. I'm Tom Baker. Be back tomorrow when we're going to be talking about questions I was given by a confirmand who wants to become Lutheran. I think you'll find them interesting. God bless.
It's a Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.